The first lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 through 16. Let us listen to the word of God. Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel for his part brought of the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go out to the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield to you its strength. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Today you have driven me away from the soil, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and anyone who meets me may kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. Whoever kills Cain will suffer a sevenfold vengeance. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, so that no one who came upon him would kill him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. The word of the Lord.
We continue our study out of 1 Peter. We are in the third chapter, and we'll be reading verses 8 through 13. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Finally, all of you, have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Don't repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. For those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? The word of the Lord. He was one of the most, and actually he still is, one of the most admired Navy captains of our era. His career was extraordinary, and ultimately it led Brett Crozier to be named captain of the USS Theodore Roosevelt, one of the most powerful warships ever created, an aircraft carrier beyond compare. And his crew loved him, and his crew would go anywhere and do anything for him and even risk their lives for him because they believed in him. But about 6 or 7 weeks ago, he was relieved of his command. What happened was there was an outbreak of coronavirus aboard his ship, and he was so concerned for his crew that he sent multiple emails sort of up the chain of command asking that something be done. When one of those emails was leaked to the press, the acting secretary of the Navy relieved him of command. Now, I am not going to question whether that was appropriate or inappropriate. I've never served in the Navy. I don't understand how that works. For all I know, this might have been an inappropriate action for which he may have needed to be relieved. But it's what happened next that interests me and is germane to this morning. After having been relieved of command, the acting Secretary of the Navy traveled from the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., all the way to Guam, where the Theodore Roosevelt was docked. He boarded the ship, and then in an evidently expletive-filled harangue, went after the captain, ultimately saying this, and this is a quote from what he said, that Captain Crozier was either too naive or too stupid to command this ship. And if you listen to the recordings, the instant he said that, you can hear bleeped out words from the sailors aboard that ship. But what this was a seek and destroy mission. It wasn't simply enough to relieve him of his command and put out a formal statement saying why. It was that for some reason, the Secretary of the Navy believed that he had to go to this man's ship and attempt to destroy his reputation. And this didn't surprise me in the least. And I say that not because of anything in the political circumstances in which we find ourselves, but because this is what we human beings do. We human beings seek and destroy. When we believe that we are the aggrieved party, for whatever reason, whether we're aggrieved because someone has said something about us or done something to us, or they've taken something from us, or they have something that we want, that we're jealous of them, there seems to be this hard wiring within us that causes us to seek and destroy. And my guess is, if all of us are honest with ourselves and we think about it for a moment, we can think of a moment when that's what we wanted to do. When we wanted to go out and seek and destroy that other. And I say it's part of our hardwiring because it is part of one of the most ancient stories in the scripture. And that was the story that Bethany read a few minutes ago, the story of Cain and Abel. So let's quickly go back and just sort of walk through that story again. Cain and Abel are brothers, which means there's going to be trouble anyway. Having grown up with three of them, I understand how that just causes problems just because. But each of them went to God with an offering. Cain brings produce of the ground. Abel offers the best of his first fruits of the sheep. Abel's is accepted. Cain's isn't. And it's interesting the way the scripture puts it. Cain's countenance became downcast. He was ticked off. And there was this anger in him, and God even addresses this. God says to him, listen, it's not over. If you just do well, it'll all be fine. But be careful, because there's this thing going on inside of you that will master you if you let it. And Cain then goes on a seek and destroy mission. Notice in the story, Abel doesn't say, Dad loves me best. He doesn't humiliate his brother because his brother's offering wasn't accepted. No, Abel just goes on with his life. But Cain is angry, and Cain needs to seek and destroy. And if he can't seek and destroy God, who didn't accept the offering, the next best thing is one of God's creation, his brother Abel. And so he goes and says, hey, bro, let's go out into the field. And he takes him out and he kills him. Seek and destroy. It seems to be hardwired. And if anyone would have appreciated both of these stories of what happened to Captain Crozier and what happened to Abel, it would have been those folks in the Roman Empire who were reading Peter's letter. Because if anybody knew how to seek and destroy, it was the Romans. They were excellent at it. It was simply part of their culture. And one of my favorite stories of this is that famous story of Antony and Cleopatra. Great movie from the 50s, I think. And just so everyone's aware, it's a fascinating story. So Antony and Octavian, Mark Antony and Octavian, are co-rulers of the Roman Empire. Well, Mark Antony heads down to Egypt, which is part of his part of the Roman Empire, and he falls in love with Cleopatra, the famous Cleopatra, who was Pharaoh of Egypt. They have a couple of kids, and then together they begin to conspire that they are going to take over the empire. This does not set well with Octavian or the rest of the Romans in Rome. And so there is a war. Antony and Cleopatra are defeated. Now, the famous story, at least if you watch the movie, is that Antony and Cleopatra decide that they are going to take their own lives, and they do it in this great dramatic fashion. Yeah, well, that's not really the story. Antony, knowing he's defeated, he's tricked by Cleopatra into taking his own life. But Cleopatra thinks she can convince Octavian to let her go, and that the two of them can hook up and take over the Roman Empire. But then she finds out what Octavian has in store for her. And what he has in store for her is that he will take her back to Rome in chains, put her in a chariot, have that chariot go through the streets of Rome where people will pelt her with rotten fruit and vegetables, and they will humiliate her and scream at her, and only after her total humiliation will she be executed, possibly crucified. And so when she realizes that, she makes a date with an asp, and the story ends there. But this is what the Roman Empire did. This is what the people reading Peter's letter are used to. It isn't just enough to defeat your enemies. You have to utterly and completely humiliate them. It is seek and destroy. And so, my guess is they were a bit shocked when they heard Peter's letter. Let me read it to you again. This is coming from verse 9. Don't repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this, meaning repaying with a blessing, that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. What Peter is saying is that those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, it is no longer acceptable to repay abuse with abuse or evil for evil. That instead, we are to repay with a blessing. Now, blessing is a great word, actually. I realize we use it in all sorts of ways. Well, someone sneezes, as Cindy did on her video from this week, and someone says, well, God bless you. Or, at least from the South, we look at someone, and as long as you say, well, bless their hearts, you can say anything else about them. But blessing is a great word because it has both a definition and a history. And the definition of the word to bless means to prosper someone. It means to prosper someone physically, mentally, economically, spiritually, physically, any way someone's life can be improved, can be prospered. That's the definition of blessing. And so when Jesus blessed those children, as Cindy talked about, he was essentially asking God to prosper those children so their lives as they grew up would be richer and fuller than they would have been otherwise. But the word not only has a definition, to prosper, it has a history, it has a tradition. And that tradition begins when God calls Abram and Sarah. And God says, listen, if you get up and go where I want you to go, I will bless you with land, with children, with financial and physical blessings. I will bless you so that your offspring will be greater than the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And it is that blessing then that Abraham passed down to his children, both children, by the way, though only Isaac gets the blessing. But the blessing is passed on to his offspring, who pass it to their offspring, who pass it to their offspring. And so for 1,500 years before the coming of Jesus, before Peter is writing these words, there's this great Jewish tradition of blessing, of parents blessing their children, of passing it down. For fathers to sons, it was, may you be like Ephraim and Manasseh, whose lives were prospered. For mothers to daughters, it was, may you be like Leah and Rachel and Sarah, whose lives were prospered. This is the idea of blessing. And this is what we're called to do, even when we are the aggrieved party. We are not to lash out. We are not to go on a seek and destroy mission. We are instead, and we're not just to be neutral. We are to bless. So the question is, how do we do this? Well, Peter gives us two ways, and to show you what those two ways are, I'm going to invite the other Dr. Judson to come up front with me, because these two ways are visual images. I know they're just words, but they're really visual images. Okay, and so the first thing that we have to change is our posture when we are the aggrieved party. So this is the first posture of an aggrieved party. The angry face, the crossed arms. This is the second posture of the aggrieved party. It gets bigger. This is the third piece of the aggrieved party. This is seek and... Okay, thank you, honey. This is seek and destroy.
Too much time together.
Yes. This is seek and destroy. But I want you to listen to Peter's description of the new posture. Listen again. This is where he begins in verse 8. Finally, all of you have sympathy, meaning to come alongside. Love one another. Have a tender heart and a humble mind. When this is your posture, when this is your posture, seek and destroy is gone. This is what Peter calls us to. He says we have to literally change how we approach people when we find ourselves aggrieved. Again, it's not just enough to ignore, to walk away. It is literally to bless. Now, the second piece of this is orientation. So, the way Peter describes this, and for all of those of you who are Star Wars fans, he said, let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them turn away from the dark side and to the good. It's literally a change of orientation. It is understanding that just like Cain, sin is there, and if we allow it to, it will turn us away from the good, and it will draw us into seeking and destroying. And so the challenge is for us to turn back to Christ, and then to show love and sympathy and compassion and a tender heart. Thanks, babe. We live in an angry moment of time. This last week, a guard at, I think it was a Target, who asked a man to wear a mask, had his arm broken by this man. We've had people go armed to the State House here in Michigan and stand without masks right in the face of peace officers and scream at them. There's a Facebook page, or there was, with almost 400,000 people on it, that was calling for the death of our governor. This is an angry moment. And it is easy for us to feel aggrieved. It's easy to get swept up in that and allow sin to crouch at our door, ready to pull us away from where we're supposed to be. But the challenge for us is not to allow that to happen. The challenge for us is to change our posture and change our orientation. It is to be those who choose, instead of seeking and destroying, to bless. Because even Cain got blessed in the end. God could have sought him out and destroyed him, but God didn't do it. Because ultimately, God is a God of blessing. So that's my challenge for all of us for this week. Is to ask ourselves, as Cindy did a minute ago, who is it that I can bless this week? Can I bless someone at the grocery store? Can I bless someone at the drugstore? Can I bless someone in my home? Can I bless someone through Zoom meeting? Who can I bless? Because that is our calling, my friends. So go out and bless someone. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day. We ask that you would continue to bless us, that we might be a blessing to others. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.